In Plain Sight, Jeremy from Kentucky on Republic Broadcasting Network. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate, send the fundage. $100 or more will get you into a drawing for a book from John Statmiller's library. So please make your check or money order payable to RBN, mail it to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call in your debit or credit card number to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. This is your spiritual health and wellness edition on Wednesday night, and I will be featuring a sermon from Pastor Stephen Anderson from Faith Forward Baptist out of Arizona. He's doing a political commentary and sort of bumping how he views today's politics, bumping it with the Bible. I'm not going to be able to play the whole sermon. It's long, and I'm going to try not to I'm going to play clips of it, but I'm going to try to put the clips in context. I don't agree with everything that he said in the earlier part, and I just don't have time to go through and pick it all apart. But we're going to play some of the highlights of the sermon. So this is him commenting on sort of how he sees the political paradigm today and maybe in the last, I don't know, 50 to 70 years or so. So we'll see what you think, and I'll do a little commentary afterwards, probably go into the next break with it.
Here, let me take a picture real quick, just in case I need to refer to it or anything. All right, smile. All right, very good. So everybody can go ahead and sit down. Thank you very much for that. I hope that was a little bit helpful, just to give you like a little crash course in what people even mean. And I'm not saying that what I just explained is absolute truth, because you know what absolute truth is? The Bible. Right. Absolute truth is the Word of God. I'm just explaining to you how most people think about politics, or what most textbooks would tell you about politics. The type of things that you learn in America in elementary school about politics is, hey, here's the basics of what it means to be right-wing, what does it mean to be left-wing, what are things like fascism and socialism and so forth. So it's just like a basic crash course to get you on the same page of what ideologies we're talking about, what's the mainstream view. Now let's examine these in light of the Word of God. So if you would, flip over in your Bible to 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. So I want to talk about three main things this morning. We're going to talk about liberty, and then we're going to talk about socialism, and we're going to talk about fascism, right? Because these are kind of the three big ones, as it were, right? You know, the libertarian viewpoint, whether it's a liberal left-leaning or a conservative right-leaning viewpoint of liberty and freedom, and kind of historically what America has been, constitutionalism, you could say, right? Or, you know, more of a left-wing ideology of socialism, which is where our country is heading predominantly, and then also a more right-wing view of fascism. Let's examine these in light of Scripture, Okay. Well, the first thing I want to say about liberty, and this is the main point I want to make about liberty, is that liberty's great. Okay. Liberty's good, but it only works for a righteous group of people. It's only going to work if people are a righteous group of people. Now, this is what our founding fathers said as well, because, for example, the second president of the United States, John Adams, said this: our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to govern any other. Now, stop and think about that. I mean, he's saying, look, we've made a Constitution here, but it's designed for moral people and religious people. It's not going to work if people aren't moral and religious. And I agree with him. Let me give you some scriptures, okay? You don't have to turn there, but Psalm 119:45 says this: and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. You see, he'll speak of God's testimonies before kings and not be ashamed, because God's testimonies supersede anything that any king or politician ever says. And so the bottom line is that God's word reigns supreme over all of these ideologies, including libertarianism. It doesn't matter which one. But the Bible said, I'll walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. You see, if my kids are good kids, I'm going to give them more freedom. If they start acting up, I'm probably going to start tightening the reins on them. Isn't that just the way life works? I mean, if you went to your job and all the workers are just doing a great job and everybody's doing what they're supposed to do, there probably aren't going to be a lot of rules. But if the workers are constantly doing bad and constantly pushing the envelope, then you're going to have to add all these rules and everything. So there's a principle that says that, you know, liberty is a privilege for those who are actually righteous, okay? And so I'll walk at liberty because I seek God's precepts, is what David said. And John Adams said something similar, okay? 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. What's the implication there? If the spirit of the Lord's not there, you're going into bondage. You're going to lose liberty. You're going to lose freedom. You're going to be enslaved. James 2:12 says, so speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Now, the reason I read that verse is because I don't want you to think that liberty means anarchy. It doesn't mean there are no rules. You know, the Bible talks about a law of liberty. But liberty involves people being free to make their own choices, live their own lives. It doesn't mean that there are no rules. Obviously, you can't have murder, you can't have stealing, you can't have adultery and so forth. But people are able to make choices. The individual matters and they have freedom. Now look down at your Bible there in 1 Peter 2:16. The Bible reads, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. Don't use your liberty for a cloak that's like something to camouflage or hide your maliciousness. Don't use liberty as an excuse for doing wicked, rotten, harmful, violent things. And say, oh, it's liberty. Hey, I'm going to murder my baby. It's liberty. It's freedom. Right? But isn't that what we have today with the so-called pro-choice movement? That's basically what they're using liberty as a cloak for maliciousness. See, people who are wicked, evil, murderous, adulterous, horrible people, they don't deserve liberty. They're not going to be able to live in liberty. They're going to ruin liberty for everybody else. Why does the libertarian society eventually fall apart? Because what did we say? Present, past, and future, right? Libertarian societies are doing great right now. But here's the problem. Over time, they're going to degenerate. Because you give people freedom, and people are wicked, and eventually, it just keeps getting worse. And that's what's going on right now. But still, you know, liberty's good. I'm not against liberty. I'm 100% for it. And I would say that, you know, if I have a political ideology, it's libertarianism. But I understand the fact that it doesn't always work, because it's only going to work for a moral and religious people. And so think about the children of Israel. God gave them a lot of freedom, a very libertarian form of government. If you compared it with the type of governments we have in the world today, God's government in the Bible is you know, really giving a lot of freedom to people. But what eventually happened? the people degenerated to the point where he had to completely destroy the nation and completely scatter them to the four winds and destroy the northern kingdom of Israel, destroy the southern kingdom of Judah, because people will sometimes abuse liberty and use liberty as a cloak of maliciousness. Instead of that, we need to be servants of God. Isn't that what it says there at the end of verse 16? Verse 17 says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And by the way, you could still have liberty even if you have a king, because you could have a constitutional monarchy. You could still have a leader. And obviously, every country has a leader or leaders, no matter how free they are. You have to. And so liberty doesn't preclude leadership. And then turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5. And I'll be done talking about liberty in just a moment, because we're pretty familiar with this. We all believe in liberty, hopefully to some degree. And so this is kind of where we're at as Americans. This is what we grow up with, and we see the fruit of it, that we're living in a safe, prosperous, successful country compared to other countries in this world. And so we can see in the present right now, liberty working. We kind of know that way off in the future, it's going to fall apart at some point because of the degeneracy of human beings and their maliciousness. But for the present, it works, right? Leave it alone. Don't change it. Keep it where it's at. Galatians 5:13 says this, for brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Now, think about that last verse there as I read for you a quote from the fourth president of the United States, James Madison. So we heard a quote from John Adams. How about James Madison? He wrote that the Constitution requires sufficient virtue among men for self-government. Meaning, if you don't want a government telling what to do, you have to govern yourself. So men need to have sufficient virtue. That means goodness, morality, religion, right? Sufficient virtue among men for self-government. Otherwise, nothing less than the chains of despotism can restrain them from destroying and devouring one another. Now, clearly he has Galatians 5 in mind when he wrote this, because he's talking about liberty and he talks about devouring one another. He's virtually quoting the passage. What's he saying? He's saying, look, if people don't have virtue and righteousness and godliness, then only the chains of despotism can restrain them from destroying and devouring one another. Here's what he's saying. He's saying you have to have a strong government restricting people, because they're such idiots, they're just going to tear each other apart. And so you have to keep getting stricter. It'd be like if your kids just keep getting into trouble, you have to keep getting stricter and stricter and making all these rules. Same, it's just the way life works. Whereas if the kids are being good, you give them more freedom. And so the idea here is that people will sometimes, in a free environment, start to bite and devour one another, be malicious, harmful, and then they end up losing their liberty because they're not serving God, because they're not following Christ, because they don't have virtue. So that's some of the issues with liberty. The main takeaway is that liberty's great, but it only works for a righteous people. Moral and religious people, as John Adams said. So number two, what about socialism? So go if you would to Deuteronomy chapter 15. Now remember, socialism is the driving left-wing ideology. And what is the goal of the socialist? It's not liberty. What's his goal? Equality, right? Material equality. That's the goal of socialism. That's the driving force of left-wing politics. Equality. Material equality especially, right? And so here's the problem with socialism is that, number one, that's impossible to achieve, nor is it even a right goal. Number one, it's impossible. Number two, it's not even a good goal.
So I want to do a commentary here. Of course, he has a very mainstream conservative view. And this is how conservatives do see socialism in America, because it won't work. It will only work, like in the case of Denmark, for decades had a very successful socialist system, very high taxes, but you know, everybody had schooling and housing, the roads were good, but everybody contributed. And what broke the system was immigration, third world immigration, and people siphoning off the system. So Anderson's not wrong. Socialism will not work in America, but he's kind of approaching it from that viewpoint, from the viewpoint of how it's been in America. And truly, it's been a disaster with just basically the minorities and the slummy whites also living off the system, the lazy whites that don't want to work. And so it ends up with the good people, the hardworking people of the country, end up taking care of the deadbeats. And I think that's kind of where he's going with this, but we'll get back to it.
So what does the Bible say in Deuteronomy 15:11? For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in thy land. He's saying, look, help the poor, love the poor, take care of the poor. But let me tell you something. There will always be poor people. They're always going to exist. Of course, Jesus quotes this, right? And he says, the poor have you with you always. Okay. And so the idea here is that the goal of left-wing politics, which is future-oriented, we're going to end poverty.
Yeah.
The war on poverty. End poverty. We're going to end hunger. We're going to just make everybody equal. It's never going to happen. It's impossible. It can't happen. It doesn't work. Now, part of the reason why is that, yes, many poor people are poor through no fault of their own. There are poor people who are poor through no fault of their own, but laziness and stupidity will also make you poor. So as long as there are lazy and stupid people, there will always be poor people. And again, I'm not saying everybody who's poor is lazy and stupid. And you say, well, how dare you even bring that up? Well, here's how I dare, because I'm going to read for you a litany of Bible verses that say what I just said. This is why I dare. Because Proverbs 6, verse 9, if you want to, like, speed turn to these, they're all in Proverbs, and they're all going to come at you in order, but I'm not going to wait for you to get there, okay? So Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? A sluggard is a lazy person. When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. So the lazy person who's sleeping when they should be working, the Bible says poverty will come to them. True or false? So this is why you're always going to have poor people. You're always going to have people that are lazy and sleeping. And again, not saying that that's all poor people, but this is part of it. How about chapter 10, verse 4? Then we're going to go to 13, 18. But in chapter 10, verse 4, it says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. So we got people working hard and being diligent, getting rich, and then we have people dealing with a slack hand, just kind of like limp. And they get poor because they're not working hard. They're not trying. Okay? Proverbs 13, 18. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. So you got that kid in school? He doesn't want to be taught. He doesn't want instruction. He doesn't want to learn. He's not doing his homework. He's not paying attention. He doesn't care. And then he grows up. He doesn't know much. He doesn't have any skills. He ends up poor. That kid will always exist. Therefore, the poor will always exist.
So we'll pick back up on the other side of the break, in plain sight, back on the other side.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
We're back to In Plain Sight, your Wednesday night spiritual health and wellness edition. Just listening to sermon clips from Pastor Steven Anderson on his political view and how politics line up with the Word of God. He's dealing with socialism now. He's dealing specifically with lazy people that would take advantage of the socialist system. And we're going through Bible verses. We'll just continue on.
Because poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction. Somebody tries to tell him how to do a better job, he won't listen. He stays poor. How about Proverbs 20, verse 13? Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. How about Proverbs 21, verse 17? He that loveth pleasure, the person who's just a hedonist, if it feels good, do it, and just going out and just gratifying his flesh, he's going to end up being a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil should not be rich. You know, somebody's just blowing their money on fancy things. You know, they don't have money. Proverbs 23:21, the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. So as long as you have drunkards and gluttons in this world, you're going to have people that come to poverty. Drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. As long as people are, and why are people drowsy? It's because they stayed up at night partying, playing a video game, goofing off, staying up too late. You know, it's not that sleep is bad. It's that sleeping when you're supposed to be working is bad. It's sleeping in the middle of the daytime is bad because you're up goofing off at night. Now, if you're working at night and sleeping in the daytime, that's another story. I'm talking about the vast majority of us who work in the daytime and sleep at night. Okay? I'm not making this stuff up. I mean, it's all in the Bible. If you're drunk, that leads to poverty. Glutton, poverty. Lazy, poverty. Drowsy, sleepy, refusing instruction, not listening, poverty, 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 poverty. Well, it's just poor people, it's not their fault. That I do agree that there are some people who are poor through no fault of their own. But will the drunkard and the glutton in general come to poverty? I mean, you can't ignore all this scripture. There's a lot of, it's a full page in my notes of scriptures. I'm only halfway done with these verses. Proverbs 24, verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Proverbs 28:19, he that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. Proverbs 28, verse 22, this is a good one. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. Right? Buying lotto tickets, poverty. Poor people buy lottery tickets. And you say, well, it's because they want to be rich and they're so poor. No, they're poor because they buy lottery tickets, because buying lottery tickets makes you poor. No. That's true. Okay, what kind of people buy lottery tickets, though?
People who covetous.
Covetous people, and also people who are stupid. That's the word I was looking for. You ever wonder why when people win the lottery, they end up worse off? And you're like, dude, if I won the lottery, I would be so much smarter with how I allocated everything. I'd be set for life. You know what? You're right. If I won the lottery, I would be set for life. If you won the lottery, you would be set for life, because we're not idiots. So we would use the money in a way that would make sense. But guess what? We're never going to win the lottery because we're too smart to play the lottery. Idiots are playing the lottery, which is why you always wonder, like, why do all these lotto winners do such stupid things with their money? Because most people who are playing the lottery are stupid, and most of the smart people are not playing the lottery. But that's why you don't see people winning the lottery making all these wise investments and actually succeeding. Because those people are already succeeding without the lottery. Right. They don't need the lottery. Okay. Why? Because he that hasteth to be rich, and all those other answers you gave are correct too. Yeah, they're being covetous, they're all those other things. But, you know, poverty is going to come upon them. So is this goal realistic of saying, hey, let's make everybody equal materially? We're going to get rid of poverty. Everybody's going to have a livable wage. Everybody's going to be doing great. No, but not only that, it's not even a good goal. And here's why it's not a good goal, because the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, if you would turn there, please, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And while you're turning there, I'll read you another verse. Here's how Jesus does things. In Revelation 22:12, Jesus said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Jesus says, I give people a reward based on the work that they did. They get paid based on the work they did. Now, that's not salvation. Salvation is not a reward. Salvation is a free gift. But after we're saved, we can earn rewards by working. Okay.
And we're up on the next break, back on the other side with the final clips from the sermon.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Back to In Plain Sight. You are Wednesday night, Spiritual Health and Wellness. We're going to finish up this sermon clip from Pastor Anderson, and then I'll have some commentary.
And so we get a reward based on our work. Is that what socialism is teaching? No, socialism wants material equality. Well, guess what? Some people are working really hard. Some people are diligent. Other people are slothful. Should they get the same reward? No, because then the problem with that is now you're taking away the motivation to excel. And you're even punishing success in many cases. Especially in the violent form of communism, you know, the people who are successful and own things and become wealthy get punished. They get killed. But look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, give him a basic guaranteed income. Because socialism. Because material equality. No, the Bible says, if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Do those people exist today? Of course they do. They're always going to exist. Human beings are always going to be human beings. There's nothing new under the sun. And so we command and exhort them that are such, verse 12 there. Now, them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Shut up, go to work, and eat. That's the Stephen Anderson Revised Standard Version. Okay. And so he's saying, you know, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Okay, so the Bible here is not teaching that socialism is possible, number one, as far as material equality, the goal, the ultimate goal. It's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. And it's not even a right goal because it isn't fair. You know, the guy who's diligent and listens and works hard shouldn't be at the same material level as the drunken, gluttonous, lazy person who refuses to listen, refuses to work, deals with a slack hand, etc. So I think we understand what's wrong with that left-wing ideology. But now let's talk about fasting.
And so he's got sort of a really bad take on fascism, and I don't want to go through it and pick it apart. But just to sum up what he was talking about on socialism, no, it won't work in America. We're too diverse. We're not racially homogenous. This worked in Denmark, like I mentioned before, when it was over 90% Danish. And then when they brought in the immigrants broke the system. So socialism can work. It's not entirely against the Bible, because in that situation that I described, everybody was contributing, and everybody got to take from the pot. That's the only way that it would work. He mentioned in the beginning liberty. And, you know, he's painting sort of an idealistic picture of America that's rapidly deteriorating today. Probably the picture that he's painting was more from the 50s and 60s, you know, when you had a more Christian-based society with high morals. And in that society, you can have a lot of liberty. A lot of our liberties are stripped and have been stripped in the last, I would say, 8 years specifically. I mean, they've been stripped for longer than that, but we've really, you know, felt it in the last 8 years, specifically the last 2.5. It's not liberty to have the government force trannyism on your children. It's not liberty when corporations enforce the COVID laws and governments in certain parts of America enforced it. Again, not every part. My part of West Kentucky, we still had a lot of liberty, even during the whole COVID hoax, even though the restaurants were shut down for about a month. There was still quite a bit of liberty here. Why? Because it's a rural area full of, you know, people with a predominantly Christian outview of good morals, of a good work ethic. And that's how liberty, that's the only way it can be sustained. And as he was bringing up, when the society deteriorates, then you're going to get tyranny. You're going to get tyranny to come in and govern society with a hard hand. Now, the context of what he was talking about with work and the scriptures about working, as he mentioned, was the context of physical labor, not working for your salvation. So I just want, since he breached that subject, I just wanted to cover that for the rest of this segment. And I wanted to spare you all of the tranny articles, and I'm going to try to focus more just on the Bible on Wednesday nights. I mean, unless it's relevant to the topic of study. So this thing of working for your salvation, the Bible clearly does not teach that. There are some problem passages, though, that require some navigation and knowledge of the scriptures. So let's start off with Ephesians 2:8. This pretty much lays it out. 2:8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." And then verse 9, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." So we have to define terms here in the context of that chapter. Being saved means spiritually born again, how you get to heaven. There's other contexts where saved means that your physical body is saved or that your livelihood is saved. Now, we see this in James 2. This is kind of a problem passage for some people that want to push works-based salvation. But you got to read James 2 in conjunction with Romans 4 to really get the full message, because they go together. So you go to James 2 down to verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and be filled, but you do not give them the things that are needed for the body, what does it profit? So there in just those few verses, the context defines the word saved. What is he talking about? He's talking about the physical body. He's talking about a brother who is in need of clothing and food. That's the context of saved. So what he's saying here is that if you have true faith, if you are a believer, a born-again Christian, your works are going to demonstrate that. And if they don't, then your faith is doing you no good in your physical daily life. Just like the example of, you know, don't just tell the individual, you know, go in peace and be warm. Give them food. Give them clothing. Now your works are alive. Now they're demonstrating your faith. So verse 17, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So there's even further defining what he's talking about, demonstrating your faith. And now he gives some examples. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Now, of course, Abraham didn't go through with it. God stopped him. But the point is that Abraham was demonstrating his faith. Verse 22, do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works, faith was made perfect? 23 is really the highlight of the chapter. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. It doesn't say that Abraham did good works and it was accounted for righteousness. It said that he believed. And that's all the way back in Genesis 15, where Abraham exercised faith. And that's what made him righteous. Defining terms, again, righteousness is to be right before God. Nowhere in the Bible does it say your works earn you righteousness. Nowhere. It's strictly saying right here, it was his faith that accounted him righteousness. And he's making a differentiation there between what Abraham did then by being willing to offer his son and perfectly obeying God. He was demonstrating that righteousness that he had already obtained. We read this in conjunction with Romans 4, just to really be clear on it. Romans 4, starting with verse 1. What then shall we say, that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, then he has something to boast about, but not before God. Again, we read this in conjunction with the James 2:21. It was before men that Abraham's works demonstrated his righteousness. Verse 3 of Romans 4. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as a debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. And then Paul quotes Psalm 32 here. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Again, this is based on his faith and not his works. So if we're going to use Old Testament examples then, which Paul is using here and James is using, Old Testament examples of people who demonstrated their faith by their works, what's an example of dead faith? James 2 talked about if you have faith without works, it's dead. It's ineffectual. It doesn't mean you're lost necessarily. It could. It could if you never do anything, if you never obey God. That's a good indication that you were never born again. But not necessarily. We have Lot. All right? We have Lot. If you're not familiar, we'll contrast Lot and Abraham. Lot was Abraham's nephew. Lot went to live in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain, knowing what wicked men that they were there. And then the Lord, because Abraham, you know, petitioned the Lord saved Lot. And Lot and his daughters and his wife. Now, his wife didn't make it out, but he and his daughters did. Lot and his daughters made it out of the city before it was burnt up with fire for the act of sodomy. And Lot and his daughters ended up dwelling in a cave. And they got him drunk and had sex with him and had children by their father. Now, if you just read that account of Lot, there, I think it's in Genesis 18. Let me double check that. But if you just read that account, then you would think that Lot was burning in hell, because nowhere in the story of Lot did his works demonstrate his faith. As a matter of fact, he lived like a lost man, pretty much, if you just read those accounts, right? Let me get this particular. Genesis 19 is the account of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, by the way, if you want to look that up. But we read in the New Testament that the Apostle Peter says that Lot was a righteous man. We read this in 2 Peter 2:6. All right. Turning the cities, speaking of God, turn the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes and condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. Verse 7 of 2 Peter 2. And he delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man, speaking of Lot, dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. So there's a very important revelation that Lot was a righteous man. By his works? No. His works did not demonstrate righteousness. As James 2 says, he had a dead faith that was ineffectual. In strict contrast with the life of Abraham, who clearly demonstrated his righteousness, even though he made several mistakes that were recorded in Scripture, Abraham overall demonstrated his righteousness. His faith was not dead. It was effectual. Because he had an effectual faith, he was able to pray the Lord and get his nephew out of that city before it was overthrown with fire and brimstone. And then also Romans 4 quotes David. This would be King David, second king of Israel. And King David had a lot of faults, but overall he's a man after God's own heart. And we see how, you know, he ruled and he fought as a warrior and a king. He ruled and fought with wisdom and demonstrated that. But yet he had his mistakes. He did several things that you can read about. He took another man's wife, Bathsheba, and he suffered physical punishment from that. The sword never left his house. Because of that sin, he lost his firstborn son with Bathsheba when he was a child, when the firstborn was a babe. God took the life of the child of that marriage with Bathsheba. And then later, David's family was in shambles and was always at it with each other. David's own son, Absalom, rebelled against him and tried to do a coup d'etat and overthrow David and take over the kingdom. And Absalom was eventually killed. So even though David had all of these faults and a lot of recorded mistakes, overall, his overall life demonstrated a pattern of righteousness. Again, in contrast with Lot and Abraham, Lot did not demonstrate that pattern. Abraham did. So I just wanted to clear that up because I heard a sermon on that very recently about James 2. And I didn't totally agree with the presenter because they're Calvinistic in their viewpoint and basically believed that a person that has an ineffectual faith or a dead faith is lost. That does not say that in the Scripture. It says it's ineffectual. You know, just like they're not having an effect on their brother and sister who's in need because they're not giving them the food and the clothing that they need. So As Christians, it's important that, especially in this wicked generation, that we demonstrate our faith. And that could be in the form of giving, you know, to our brothers and sisters. That could be in the form of standing up against evil. We may be called by God to fight one day under certain authorities that God places over us. We may be called to fight, to do physical battle, just as David was a warrior. So there's a lot of things to take in consideration there about having an effectual faith. So we are up on the last break. I'll be back on the other side with the conclusion of spiritual health and wellness.
The wind blows hard against this mountainside, across the sea into my soul.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret. SusannaSecret.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
My heart is old, it holds my memories. My body burns a gem-like flame.
All right, welcome to the final segment of In Plain Sight, your Wednesday night spiritual health and wellness edition. So I just wanted to drive home the fact that we're not saved by our works. We're not justified by God by our works. We're justified by grace through faith, and we demonstrate our righteousness that God has given us to men by our works. And I'll just hit a few more passages of scripture here. Also, you can't lose it. You didn't do anything to earn that righteousness. You can't lose it. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Also, we'll read, just to drive home the fact that you can't lose it. Some would call it once saved, always saved. But eternal security is probably the best way to phrase it. The Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus talking. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Notice that Jesus says that he gives them eternal life. It's a gift. It's eternal. It never ends. He says they will never perish. No one can snatch you out of God's hand once you've been justified righteous before God and once you're a born-again believer. This is something we covered a couple of weeks ago talking to Rhonda. Sort of just barely breached the subject. And I referenced to her Ephesians 1, and I want to read as much of that as I can before the end of the show. Ephesians 1, starting with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he hath made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And then you drop down here to verse 13. In him, meaning Christ, you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. We are the purchased possession. If you're a believer in Christ, a born-again believer, he chose you from before the foundation of the earth. You were elect. He saved you by grace through faith, apart from your works. And it can never be lost, because the Holy Spirit himself is the guarantee. He seals us once we have believed. That's what it said there in verse 13. Also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You cannot lose your salvation if you're a believer. I hope these words have encouraged you. I hope the scriptures have encouraged you and helped you to realize to live out your Christian faith, demonstrate it. Y'all have a great night, and God bless.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.